King, which we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And now as we are drawing to the close of his first narrative block, which we have seen the conduct of the king, we are about to begin the second discord, or the second discourse, or the second teaching block in chapter 10. But before we do, Matthew would have us to see something else about the glory of King Jesus. So let's pick it up in chapter 9 and verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We will endeavor to see five things this morning in the time that we have in these four verses. The first two we see in verse 35. Let's read it again. And when Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. May the Holy Spirit give us the ability today. May He give us the faith to see and to realize that on a real day, 2,000 years ago, this actually took place just as it is recorded here. I think sometimes we think of the accounts of Scripture as a tale that has been told. We think of the account of Scripture as just a sort of a fable. But may the Holy Spirit give us the ability and the faith to see, to realize that a real man, a Jewish man, a Jewish rabbi, a Jewish teacher named Jesus walked through the land of Israel among the people of Israel. He taught in the synagogues of Israel on Sabbath morning. This real man really did the things, the miraculous things that are recorded of him. And may we also understand, may the Holy Spirit also help us to understand that the coming of this man to this place and to this people in this miraculous fashion was and is no secret. If I could say it like this, illustrate it like this, in eternity past and then at the creation of the world, God shot an arrow for all people and all events to follow. And it landed right here, in this place, at this time, upon this man. And that's what Matthew reminds us of here once again, here in verse 35, at the end of this portion of his writing. So here in verse 35, this man, we see this man Jesus, he came with a proclamation. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Do we understand what the gospel, what the good news of the kingdom of God is? Here it is. This man, Jesus, proclaiming, I, the King of the kingdom of God, I, the eternal, everlasting King of Israel, Brother Mark, I am here. That's what he was proclaiming. That is the gospel of the kingdom of God. This man, Jesus, standing up and declaring, I am the Messiah. I am the eternal and everlasting King of Israel, and I am here. It says there in verse 35 that he went through all the villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He went through all the villages of Israel, all the teaching spots in Israel, and he stood before them and he said, under the inspiration of the Spirit, but in fulfillment of the Holy Spirit and fulfillment of the prophecies, I, the King, am here. And then notice, secondly, we see the proclaiming, but then the proof. He came proving it. The confirmation, the validation of his proclamation that he is indeed the King of all kings and that he is here. Notice how Matthew puts it in verse 35. It says that he, this man who proclaimed, I am here, I the King am here. He healed every sickness and every disease that was among the people. You think we can believe Matthew? Do you think we can believe the Holy Spirit? Then think about what he just said. And he said it in a way that we're not going to be confused about it. I looked and made sure the word structure was just like that with the articles the way they are. And it is. He healed every sickness and he healed every disease that was among the people. In other words, nothing like this. Nothing like this king had ever been seen in Israel. And listen, understand, if it had never been seen in Israel, it had never been seen anywhere else either. Nothing like this king had ever been seen anywhere else at all. So Matthew reminds us of what he has told us already over and over. And he does so because he is about to swing open the door. And let us see yet something else about this one-of-a-kind king, King Jesus. What more could he possibly have to show us? What more could he show us? He's already shown us such glorious things. I mean, he has clearly witnessed to us that of this man's unparalleled authority. He has absolutely clearly witnessed to us and shown us this man's complete sovereignty over everything and everyone. He has clearly shown us and revealed to us, even proven to us, that this man Jesus, that he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is God of very God. He is God in the flesh. He's shown us that. He's said it to us. He's proclaimed it to us. He's quoted Christ and then showed the validation of it in Christ's work. All of these things are very evident in the text. Indeed. But Matthew here, as he closes this first narrative block, he wants us to make sure that we didn't miss something. He's actually been telling us all along, but we may have missed it. And here as he closes this section, he wants to be sure that we didn't. He wants to just spell it out for us here. So yes, we've seen our king's proclamation and we've seen the proof of his conduct. But now Matthew wants to make sure we haven't missed the king, our king's, his passion. His passion. Look at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You see the king, you see this one of a kind kings, our kings, the kings, you see his passion. It's compassion. It's passion that directs itself towards and together with, look, with people. You know what this king's passion was? What this king's passion is? It is people passion. It's people passion. Now, we've seen this over and over and over again, even in these last two chapters. But here Matthew wants to spell it out for us. This great king of all authority and all power, this king of all kings and kingdoms and king of all time and eternity, he is a passionate king. He is the king of compassion. The king of compassion. And just so we understand, have any of us ever wept so hard that it hurts right here? It hurt. All you can really do is just grab a hold of you. I hope you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been so moved and wept so hard
that it hurts right here at the very core of your being. Have you?
The word compassion here is sometimes, especially in the Authorized Version, it's translated bowels. Earlier we read it in one of the passages that we read in the Sunday school classes was translated there, reins. The Greek word actually has its meaning the spleen. But what it really expresses here is that this King, King Jesus, he doesn't need to, and he doesn't have to, and he is not forced to, but he is of such a mind, this King Jesus, King Jesus, he is of such a mind and such a heart that he is moved to his core. He is moved to the foundation of his being. He is moved in the very depths of his soul with a passion for love and a passion for mercy, a passion for loving kindness towards his people. The prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before he came, said this about him. And he is speaking in the words of the Lord here. The Lord says through the prophet, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out nor raise his voice nor make his voice heard in the street." Listen to this. "A bruised reed will he not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish." You know what those words mean? Compassion. A bruised reed, a worthless stick, he would have compassion on. An ember about to burn out, he would have compassion on. He wouldn't throw it away, kick it away. It says he will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. Compassion. The Puritan writer Thomas Watson wrote this of him. He said, "We may force our Lord to punish us, but we will never have to force him to love us." See his passion. People passion. Come passion. He is the King of compassion. Like I said, Matthew's been saying it all along. He just hadn't really drilled down on it yet. He's been showing us this. Why do you think the Lord healed the leper? Why do you think he went with the centurion and healed his son? Why do you think he healed Matthew's mother-in-law? Compassion, compassion, compassion. He didn't have to. It didn't make him any more glorious to heal those needs. Compassion. So listen, I just want to ask us the obvious question. Why in the world would we refuse to bow to this King? Shouldn't we be thrilled to be just the servant, let alone the son of a King like this? I mean, really, what in the world would we not give to be in His kingdom? Think of all the things that we spend and are spent for in this life, and they are nothing, less than nothing, compared to being a citizen in the kingdom of this King. What in the world are we doing to refuse this King? What in the world are we doing to reject this King? King like this. And if this passion, this compassion of this King doesn't move you, well, look at verse 36. Look at the people then next. The people that he is moved with compassion for here. Look at verse 36. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them." Why? "Because they fainted and were scattered abroad. They were as sheep having no shepherd."
Notice those words. They fainted and they were scattered abroad and they were as sheep having no shepherd. Now listen, what kind of people are these that this king has compassion upon? These people, they aren't perfect people, are they? No, no. He is moved with compassion for people with problems.
Do you have problems? You know. Do you have problems? Do you have problems that only you know about? Well, you and the Lord. Do you have problems? I have good news for you. This King, King Jesus, He is moved with compassion for people who have problems. Do you hear that? That's gospel. Okay? That's gospel. This King, the King of all kings, the only true King, He has compassion upon, He is moved to the depths of His soul with a passion for people who have problems. And I want you to see here, these people, their problems were not just little problems. Their problems were not just minor problems. They weren't just scrapes and dents. Look at the problems of these people. First notice in verse 36 there, again, these are not just physical problems. Actually, they're not at all physical problems, because guess what? According to verse 35, this same king has already taken care of all their physical problems. He healed every sickness and healed every disease. But see the words fainted and scattered. It's interesting. These verbs in this text in the Greek language, they are in passive tense. The word fainted literally means they were burdened down and harassed. They were brought to exhaustion. The word scattered means literally to be thrown down. And notice the reason why. They were as sheep with no shepherd. Here it is, church. These people, their problems here that move Christ to the core with compassion, these problems were not physical problems. These problems were much greater than that. These problems were spiritual problems. This King, the King of compassion, get this, not only cares about your physical problems, and I'm not belittling those physical problems. I'm not belittling the problems of our daily lives. I'm not belittling that at all. But you have greater, and I have greater problems than that. But this King, He is moved over your spiritual problems. This King is moved to His core, to His soul, over your spiritual problems, deep, deep, desperate problems that have been loaded upon you and that war against you and that reign over you because of your sin's death. I mean, these are the kinds of problems that all of your other problems arise from. But this King, your King, He cares not just about your body, not just about your physical life. Get this, this King cares about your soul. The part of you that is alive and that will live forever. He cares about your soul. Listen, He, Saint of God, He is the lover of your eternal soul. And we should also see here that these people, their problems are actually exasperated. Because it's like this. Listen to what I'm about to say. It's one thing to be dead in your sin. That's a serious problem. But actually, there's something worse. And that is to be dead in your sin and have no shepherd. To be dead in your sin and have corrupt shepherding. to be dead in your sin and to have no true help. We should know something about what Matthew is describing here and what brought this compassion on and what stirred the compassion of our king here. These people of Israel here, they had shepherds. They had shepherds. You notice the text says they were as sheep without shepherds. They were as sheep without shepherds, but they had shepherds, but they would have been better off without them. They would have been better off without them. You heard the phrase, with friends like that, who needs enemies? They have. That's the kind of shepherds they had. Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the prophets, prophesied of these shepherds of Israel. Listen, in Ezekiel 34 and verse 2, he says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" But they're feeding themselves. Listen to what they're feeding themselves, though. "Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock." What are they feeding themselves with? The sheep. They're slaughtering the sheep. That's quite an astounding statement. It says, "The disease have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them." That's the shepherds of Israel. So, listen, we've got enough experience in Matthew up to chapter 10 so far. Who were these people? Who were these shepherds of Israel? The religious leaders of Israel. That's who the shepherds were, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Now listen, a shepherd is supposed to love and to care for his sheep, right? Well, let's draw the connection here. A quote-unquote religious teacher, a teacher entrusted with the things of God, are supposed to love those that they teach, right? Yes. But listen to these shepherds speaking of their sheep in John 7 and verse 49. This is just one little sentence, but it really strikes at the very heart of their thinking concerning the sheep that they had been entrusted with. It says, they said, "But this people who knoweth not the law," these people who are our sheep, "they are cursed." That's how they looked at their sheep. They despised their sheep. They saw them as a cursed thing. And listen to what this very king, the Lord Jesus, said about these shepherds, and it's directly connected to this harassing and burdening down and throwing down. In Matthew 23, verse 3, he says, "All therefore whatsoever they," those religious shepherds, the religious leaders of Israel, "whatever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and they do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Brother Spurgeon said of these people, of these sheep, that they fainted for want of comfort and were scattered abroad for lack of guidance and were eager to learn but had no fit teachers. He said they were sheep unfed, unfolded, and unguarded. He's right. That's exactly what we're seeing in the text. But think about it. What were these teachers? What were these shepherds doing? What were these shepherds teaching that loaded and burdened and harassed and threw down these people, these sheep, to the point that here in the text, God's chosen people were left to perish in their sin's death? Christ looked at them and He was moved to His soul with compassion for them, with love and compassion for them, because they were as sheep without a shepherd. They had been left to perish in their sin's death. What was it then that these teachers of Israel were teaching and loading and burdening and harassing the people with? Here it is. It's very simple. Works-based performance-driven atonement, salvation. For these shepherds, even God's own law wasn't enough. For these shepherds, they made hundreds more of their own. Their own were called traditions that they brought to the very point equal with God's own law to afflict the people with. And listen, don't you think for a minute that that mindset is dead and gone today. Don't you think for a minute that that mindset is something that the Lord's churches are exempt from, because they are absolutely not. It is not gone, and we are not exempt from it. As a matter of fact, I saw on Facebook this week, and I don't look at Facebook much. Rita brought it to my attention. People who are supposed to be of like faith, promoting the idea that it is a sin against God to sing songs from a screen instead of a hymn book. Now, I'm just going to be very, very, very frank with you. That is absolute stupidity, is what that is. Now, you may not like to read from the screen. You may rather have it. Some of you, like, I'm getting to the point, I'm going to have a hard time seeing the screen for long if I keep going. Ain't that right, Brother Shane? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying people calling other people sinful because they sing from a screen instead of a hymn book. And these are people that are supposed to know about God's grace. It was all I do. Listen, I don't have time to get on Facebook and start all that mess and run threads or whatever. I'm not going to waste my time. But it was all I could do. And I still made, but it was all I could do not to refer back to that. That's out and out Phariseeism is what that is. Stupidity. Phariseeism. Christ said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." All we have to do is look here at the text. This kind of stuff, this legalistic Phariseeism, is what caused these people to faint and to be cast down under its overwhelming, unending, unrelenting load. But would you please look? This King, King Jesus, He has compassion upon the loaded down, those who are loaded down with guilt and shame, people that are harassed by legalism. You know why? Because He would have His sheep to be free. He would have His sheep to be free. He would give His sheep life, and life more abundant. Life and a superabundant life. That's what He desires for His sheep. I want us all to understand, we live in a time of rampant religion. And it's all not First Baptist, and I'm just pointing, it's not all out there. It can have Sovereign Grace Baptist Church on the sign too. And if we're not careful, it'll have Ella Grove Baptist Church on the sign too. None of us are exempt from this. We have to learn something from God's Word. We have to learn. I thought about it. Listen, have we not ever heard the warning? When I heard that, I said, have we not ever heard the warnings of Christ against that mindset? We've read 9 chapters in the book of Matthew. We studied through them, and it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, or there's no way you're going to enter into the kingdom of God. It's everywhere. It should be very clear to us what Christ thinks of a legalistic mindset, a mindset of Phariseeism. We live in a time of rampant religion. This was a time, and this is a time of rampant religion. And listen, people are dying under its load. People are dying under its lies. We live in a time when the masses are told, on one hand, that God loves them and wants to save them, but can't and won't until you do your part. And your part changes with every passing generation and every color of religion. It's a lie. It's a lie.
We are told on the other side of that that serving the Lord is accomplished through the keeping of lists. The do's and don'ts. These do's and these don'ts. Keep the, you got to keep this list, and you better keep mine, or I'm more righteous than you. It's a lie. It's a lie. The list just keeps getting longer and longer with every passing day. But can we just simply see the emphasis in this text? Can we see who is able? Can we see who is willing to help these people? These shepherds, so-called, of Israel, they didn't want to help the people. They were loading them and loading them and loading them. Had them down on the ground, pouring more and more and more upon them. Cursed. You're cursed because you don't think like I do. You don't do what I do. See my list? Look how wonderful it is. Look how wonderful I am. And you're not like me. That's the mindset of this.
But who was willing to help these people? Who in the text is moved with loving compassion for them? Who is moved with compassion for their souls? And I want you to get this. Those people that they had down on the ground, they had not sinned against the Pharisees. They had not sinned against the Sadducees. Oh no, those people on the ground, they had sinned against this king. And the Pharisees said, no, we won't forgive them. They're not worthy to be forgiven. They're cursed. But this king of compassion, it's so wonderful that he looked upon these sinful people whose sin was committed against him. He looked upon them and his soul was moved with compassion. And I want us to see here, he is expecting nothing out of these people. The picture of these people is what I just said. They are lying face down on the ground. That's the picture Matthew draws with these words. They are totally exhausted. They have no help and no hope. They can't. But look at the text. What's the emphasis of the text? This king, he can. This king, no one else will, but he will. He will. Here it is. If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. Without King Jesus, without Christ the Lord, there is only fainting and fatigue and vexation and dispersion. Now, just to be clear, are there duties, are there responsibilities that the Lord's people are entrusted with? Absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, this king is perfectly balanced. I want to tell you, he hates Phariseeism, but he hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans too, which is a doctrine of, well, we're saved by grace, so God's grace is greater than our sin, so we just go on sinning, so we'll get more of God's grace. He hates that too. Look at the book of Revelation. Are there duties and responsibility that the Lord's people are entrusted with? Absolutely. But listen to what I'm about to say. But not to be saved by, not to impress this king with, not to get him to love you, not to get him to save you. Now, we have duties and responsibilities. And we want to keep those duties and responsibilities. We want to be obedient and faithful to those duties and responsibilities. You know why? Because He loves us. And we love Him. And that's all. We can't impress Him. Matter of fact, the more we impress Him, the worse we look in His sight. All your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The more we try to impress Him for impressing Him's sake, the more we try to twist His arm so He'll bless us or twist His arm so He'll save us. That's idolatry, really. We don't do those things to get Him to love. We don't keep the commandments of the Lord. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, just listen to what He said. If you love me, there's commandments to be kept. There's duties, there's responsibilities, there's obedience, there's faithfulness to this God, but it's born out of love for Him, which was born out of love for us first. And we do those things because He loves us. We do those things because we look here in this text and we can see the heart of this King that was filled with compassion for His people. Do you know, child of God, there was a day, even in eternity past, but there was a day in your life when the Lord's compassion came to you. It came to you personally. He came. He saw you on the ground. He saw you loaded down. He saw you being harassed by your sin, being whooped by it every day, day in and day out. And He had compassion on you. And He sent His Spirit to you to give you life so that you could get up. And give you life so you could look up to Him. You could believe and trust in Him. He would save your soul. And in a process of time, give you power over your sin. Have we learned that we have no power over our sin by ourselves? These people, they were as sheep without a shepherd. How dependent is a sheep on the shepherd exactly? Absolutely dependent. You hear what that's saying to us? That's us. We have no power. We have no help. We have no hope by ourselves. All the legalistic demands and legalistic religion that we may pile up on our life will just push us down further and further and further and further away from God. But God is a God. This King Jesus is a King of compassion. He will save us. He can save you. He will save you. You will run to Him. He will save you. If you will run to Him and Him alone, He will not turn you away. He will not cast you aside. Run to Him. Run to Him. Quit looking at you. Quit looking at things. And look to this King. Look to this glorious person of a King Christ. And run to Him and throw yourself upon Him. Like a father, like a child in fear for his life would throw himself into the arms of his father. Throw yourself into His arm and trust Him. He is able, He is willing to save. He can save you from your sin. He is a God. He is a King of compassion. Yes, there are duties. As a matter of fact, one of them is right here in the text. We have duties. We have responsibilities. Look at verse 37. It's our last point. Then saith He unto His disciples. He looked and He saw these fainting, burdened, thrown down sheep, loaded under the weight of sin. And He had compassion upon them. And in that compassion, He said unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers, the workers, are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. You see the duty, you see the responsibility. He employs, even here in the text, it is an imperative. He commands His people, He commands His disciples, He commands His followers to pray. To pray for people. To pray for people with great, great spiritual problems. And He tells them, pray for faithful laborers, faithful workers, faithful shepherds. That's where it's connected here. Faithful shepherds to come and to help those people in their problems. But I want you to see here, yes, this is a duty. Yes, it's a command in the text. Do you see the blessing of prayer?
saint of God. Look here in the text at this blessing of prayer. Yes, the Lord's commanding them. He's giving them the duty, the responsibility to pray. But it's not a legal requirement. No, it's an honor. It's a blessing. Notice here, Christ is here asking, commanding His disciples to do what? To share His compassion. To share the compassion of the King of compassion. To share His care for these sheep, for these people and their problems. I'll ask us again, how could it be that we not love this King? How could it be that our hearts would grow cold to this King? How could it be that we not give all and everything to be His servant, to enter into His kingdom? He is the King of compassion. And here, what does He give His followers? What does He give His disciples? This duty, this responsibility, yes, this blessing, this privilege of sharing His kingdom, sharing His compassion, sharing His care for others. Listen, the duties, the obligations, the responsibilities that the Lord gives His people is not about legalistic bondage. It's about freedom. It's about freedom. The greatest freedom we could ever know. Freedom of sharing with Him. Freedom of sharing and communing with Him. Freedom to become in all our being one with Him. One with Him. Oh, prayer, duty, prayer, responsibility. Yes, yes, it is a glorious duty, glorious responsibility in which we are free to share in communion with our God, share in His compassion, His love, His mercy towards others, share freedom to become one with Him. So will you? Will you? Will you share His compassion? Will you share His care for those today that are being burdened down, thrown down, brought to despair by the legalistic demands of the religious world that we live in? Will you share His compassion? Will you share, church, His care for them? Will you do as the King of compassion commands here in verse 38 and pray for these sheep who are as without a shepherd? Will you pray that the Lord would send to them and provide for them faithful workers, faithful laborers, faithful shepherds to help them to Him alone? Shepherds. Workers, laborers who know and believe and have experienced it and now are to proclaim, for by grace are you saved. Through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's how God's sheep are saved. That's what these who are burdened down and thrown on the ground. That's what they need to hear. That's the gospel, y'all. That's the gospel. The gospel is about the free grace of God. The good news of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, this King. What do we see in His face this morning? We see that He has compassion for sinners. That's our God. I don't know if you caught it or not. Maybe you did. The psalm that we opened with this morning said, "You are full of compassion. God, I am your servant. I am your slave. You are my master." But what a master you are. You are a God that is full of compassion.
God's sheep are saved by this God. God's sheep are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. May the Lord help us to understand this command, this duty, this responsibility of prayer. May He help us to understand and see the desire of the King of compassion, that His compassion be known throughout the world. Will you pray that the Lord would send such laborers, such shepherds into our homes, into our families, into our workplaces? All of you have people laying on the ground. All around you have been slayed by their sin and by the legalistic demands of this world. Oh, they've run down aisles. They've run into the baptismal pool. They shake the hands with the preacher. They've said, you know, I'm a, you know, the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. And they have no power at all over their sin. Their sin, sin still reigns upon them because they're still under their sin. They've never seen the Savior. They've never seen Him in His glory. They've never seen the One that can truly save. Yes, He brought the law. He gave us the law, but Brother Mark's already told us the law was meant to show us Him. The law, yeah, it'll throw you on the ground and stomp on you with both feet. Yeah. But guess who can save you from the curse of you not being able to keep that law? Guess who can give you the power to where you rejoice to keep that law? It's not grievous to you anymore. You rejoice. Now, you may fail, and that grieves your heart, but you know that you've been freed to love the God of that law. You love Him, and you want to serve Him, and you want to be obedient to Him. You want Him to be lifted up. Would you desire that laborers, shepherds, come into your family? Would you pray for that? That they would come to your home place, to your workplace, to your schools, to our friends, to our acquaintances? Will you share with this King's passion that you pray that people, shepherds, would be sent to the people in your lives to help them? To help them. That they would know that there is salvation from their sin and there is power over your sin in this one King, the King of compassion. May the Lord help us to hear the glory of this King, the glory of His compassion. May He also help us to hear the command to pray that others would come to know Him as well.